Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is April 15th, 2024. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Weed Witch's Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "The wings of transformation are born of patience and struggle," by Janet Dickens. So this week we're talking about the iris flower, and this is another flower popular in April. So we're going to talk a little bit about its history. So this is from florally.com. The name iris means rainbow in Greek, which is fitting for a flower that comes in so many colors. Irises were said to represent the messengers of the gods in Greek mythology. An iris to the Greeks was known to be a rainbow, a link between heaven and earth. Time and time again, this flower has been used by royalty. The French monarch adopted irises for their royal emblem, and King Clovis I created royal banners known as fleur-de-lis. Now the iris emblem is used in New Orleans. Likewise, the ancient Egyptians used irises for aesthetic reasons, both for their kings and their palaces. And the iris was originally cultivated in 1749 BC after King Thutmose III conquered Syria. This land was covered in irises. All right, so moving into some headlines, this comes to us from Newsbreak.com. Unveiling Colorado's Secret Societies, a journey into the unknown. So this was written by Gail. Is it Gail? It's Gail from HR. I don't know what that means. But this looks like a fun article. In the picturesque landscapes of Colorado, beyond the ski slopes and scenic trails lies a history marked by the presence of secretive and often controversial cults. These groups, ranging from the bizarre to the spiritually intricate, have woven a complex tapestry into the state's cultural fabric. And I'm going to be honest, like, Colorado is such an interesting place, and I feel like it has the most of things, you know? From the good, like, it has a lot of spirituality, and it has a lot of, like, really beautiful scenic areas, but it also has, like, some bizarre, weird things. Like, gun violence is pretty high there. I'm pretty sure Colorado has, like, the most, if not almost the most, like shootings and things like that. And then there also is cults. So one of the most infamous cults in Colorado's recent history is the Love Has Won, led by Amy Carlson, also known as Mother God. And this group combined conservative conspiracy theories with eclectic spiritual beliefs. So Carlson's outlandish claims included having been reincarnated over 500 times, with past lives as notable figures like Jesus and Cleopatra, and the group promoted a mix of QAnon talking points and spiritual rhetoric, asserting control over negative energies and propagating conspiracy theories ranging from COVID-19 to historical events like the Holocaust being hoaxes, which, ugh. And this is why, like, you really have to be careful again when, like, when you're in the witch world, being very, very careful, like we've talked about numerous times, learning the difference between New Age and witchcraft. One is occultism and one is, like, again, this really conservative conspiracy theory spirituality. And so Love Has Won practices included selling New Age products and health remedies, such as colloidal silver, which they claimed could cure various ailments, including COVID-19. However, these claims were widely discredited by medical professionals, and the cult gained notoriety not only for its unusual beliefs, but also for the tragic death of Carlson in 2021, which was linked to the colloidal silver ingestion and other health issues. She also was like a heavy alcoholic. Like they said that like one of the reasons they thought she was a god was because she drank so much. And they're like, no human could drink that much, you know? So Colorado also has ties to the notorious Heaven Gates cult, known for its mass suicide in 1997. I'm not a fan of calling cult deaths like that mass suicides. I'm more akin to calling them mass murders. I think when you're coerced into that, you know, it's a different situation. The group, which has connections to Denver, blended Christian beliefs with UFO lore. So Marshall Applewhite, the founder, had a background in music and met Bonnie Nettles in Colorado, leading to the formation of this cult. So another group with roots in Colorado is Divine Light Mission. And there's also a witchcraft and Wicca connection in Manitou Springs, which we actually, one of our podcast family friends is from Manitou Springs, and she makes witch hats for a living. Her name is Angela. I love her very much, and she's really wonderful. So yeah, Colorado's fascinating. I would really love to kind of like visit there. Angela's been trying to get me to visit forever, and I just need to finally make time, you know? All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, April 15th. The first quarter moon moves from the warm bed of Cancer to the crackling fires of Leo today. Here, the moon squares the sun and trines Neptune. We're having trouble staying connected to our sense of self, and it doesn't help that the trine to Neptune has us feeling a bit spacey at the moment. Don't let your inability to focus get you down. It's not reflective of who you are. It's reflective of this moment in time. Be patient and kind to yourself and try again tomorrow. Your daily moon mantra is, and now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be good. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Interested in taking your weed witchery to the next level or wanting to get started? The Weed Witch's Journal by author Carrie Connor blends the worlds of cannabis and magic together to help you document, explore, and expand your daily practices. Dig deeper into yourself with intuitive insights, mystical visions, shadow work, or connect to nature for starters. Want to explore your creativity? Dive in with My Vibe, Inspirational Ink, and the Flower Power activities. Looking to practice your skills? Get attuned with pendulum work and one card reading. Plus, document your practices with full moon, new moon spell tracker, ritual tracker, and more. Order the Weed Witch's Journal now from your favorite bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, we are back. So this is from one of our listeners, April. April says that, what does she say? Oh my gosh, I lost it. Okay, April says, I'm interested in learning more about mediumship. Well, April, I'm in. We're going to do a mediumship series this week. So let's buckle up. So first of all, what is mediumship? Mediumship, for its most base definition, is basically someone who acts as a medium for a spirit to go in between. So a medium is a tool that we use for something, right? So when someone goes, oh, I'm an artist, and they go, what medium? Like, which tool are you using to express this art, right? And it's the same with mediumship. When you are a medium, you are essentially a tool a spirit is using to communicate with the living. And usually this is used with psychic ability, telepathy, some sort of clair, in any way they can connect with you and connect to the living. And most mediums have experiences from childhood. There's also lore that it can happen after an accident. And I don't really know which I believe more, but I do know almost every medium I know, including myself, had experiences from as early as they can remember in childhood. And I definitely remember times I saw ghosts. I have stories from family who said they saw me seeing ghosts as a kid. I have a family history of people who could do those things as well on both sides. So part of me does think it's something that is like genetically passed on. But there's also the theory that it's something you learn or it's something that is triggered. And I think it can be both. I think you can be born with it, and I also think it can be triggered. I was in a brutal car accident when I was really, really little, and I don't know what came first, the car accident or the mediumship, so I don't know. It's something I could have been born with. It's something that could have sprung from an accident, which I feel like you hear that more in movies, so I don't know if that's like accurate. But let's talk about the different types of medium, and this comes to us from sandramartinez.co.uk. So let's talk about mediums. So first we have a physical medium. Now, physical mediumship is a specific type of mediumship that enables the spirit realm to directly convey messages and certain physical manifestations using the medium's body and energy field. It encompasses a range of phenomena, including direct voice communication, ectoplasm, which is kind of, honestly, I'm going to say ectoplasm, I think, is mostly a hoax from the spiritualism movement. The appearance of objects, mysterious knocking, tapping, lights, materialization of spirits, and even levitation. So my favorite example of a physical medium is if you watch any of those ghost hunting shows and the medium says something like, "Oh, my chest is getting tight. I think he died from a heart attack." Or, "Oh, my head is pounding. He's angry." I usually view that as like the perfect example of a physical medium, because they are detecting the spirit using their body as like a physical source. Next we have animal medium or pet medium. So animal mediums communicate with the deceased animals, much like, other mediums. They usually receive insights about the animal's life experiences, including family members, descriptions of their home, and details of their passing. But other animals wish to discuss reincarnation and the specifics of their future return. So I read a book. It was from a pet psychic. Let me see if I can find it, because it was really, really good, and it really was insightful to how pet psychicness worked. And it was really neat seeing how this pet psychic connected, right? Oh, here it is. Sonia Fitzpatrick. The Pet Psychic, What the Animals Tell Me by Sonia Fitzpatrick. I read this book. I really enjoyed it. I think it's also an audio book, perhaps. But if you're more curious about what pet mediumship is like and how it can feel and how they connect, great book. I've tried some of the exercises in it to try to communicate with my dog, and I don't think it's something I have a skill in. Next, we have evidential mediums. So evidential mediums are mental mediums that provide evidence of the presence of spirit communicators. So they reveal specific details about the spirit person's life, sharing details about their personality, family, relationship, hobbies, and other relevant aspects as proof and validation of the spirit's presence. So this is more like a medium who can, like, they just know information. And I will connect all these medium types to the different clairs in, later this week. But this is someone who just knows this person's information. They're able to pick up on life details and hobbies and relationships. And it's more like this person is just giving proof of existence rather than maybe direct communication. So next we have trance mediums, and I do think all of these can overlap. So trance mediums enter into a trance state to let the spirit beings talk through them. The deeper the trance, the more control the spirit has over their mind, body, and energy. The stronger the hold, the higher the quality of communication, be it through spoken or written language, healing, or even artistic expression. So these can be like automatic speaking, automatic writing, automatic drawing. So this, the idea of this is that the spirit is physically entering the body, unlike physical medium, where the spirit is using the medium's body as like a tool to indicate things. The trance medium, the spirit is actually entering the body and is speaking, writing, or drawing, using the medium's body as a tool. Let's see. Next we have, I'm kind of not doing the ones that are overlaps, like some of these are overlapping. Next we have channeling mediums. Channeling mediums communicate with one spirit or a collective of spirits, relaying messages and guidance. They establish a connection by blending their outer aura layer with the spirit, forming a link. So they're channeling, but they're not going as deep as a trance. So a lot of channeling mediums that I have read experiences from typically will use like another spirit to connect, almost like a buffer spirit. So essentially they're channeling information from like that buffer spirit who is gaining the information for them. It's almost like a layer of protection between them and the spiritual world. And a lot of the professional mediums I know who do medium readings like daily use this as just a form, like use this as a form of connection so that they're not getting completely drained and they're not putting themselves at like spiritual risk in terms of getting exhausted and things like that. All right, so I think that is it. And later this week, we're going to talk about the different clairs and how the different clairs connect to these different types of mediumships. Now, keep in mind, it is my personal opinion, not all psychics are mediums. I do believe someone can be psychic and have like intuitive feelings and gut feelings, and maybe they're really great with like a divination tool such as tarot or pendulum or lots, runes, etc. So they could be psychic in that way, but they may not be having direct communication with like the dead. I definitely view mediumship as a, and I know everyone's going to have a little bit of definition with this based off their own beliefs. Based off my beliefs, I consider mediumship more of a one-on-one working with the dead to receive information, whereas other people might not consider it that way. I do know there's some people who have very strong feelings about like divinity, and they may view some mediumship as like divinity connection. I don't. Being a medium in my mind means you're a tool for a different being to work with, and typically that's going to be the dead and other entities of similar ilk, whereas psychicness to me is more intuition. It's almost, does that make sense? And again, that's just like how I define things. I'm not saying you have to feel this way about it. But I almost feel like when you're psychic, you're picking up on like universal information that just exists in the universe. Whereas medium, it's more of a direct communication with like a dead person, you know? Anyways, I felt it was important to mention that because as I'm looking for information, I'm seeing a lot of these kind of being mushed together. And I wanted to make it very clear how I'm defining things before we like really dig in this week. So tomorrow we're going to talk about the clairs, and I'm going to give you exercises to try based off your particular clair. And I'll even have a meditation, a recorded audio meditation for the Patreon fam. But I'm going to go over all the clairs. I'm going to help you figure out which clair you are, and I'm going to give everyone exercises to try. So that's for tomorrow. So that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I want to give a shout out to listener Amy Sues. Amy, you rule-breaking, fancy Valkyrie queen. Tammy Ann, you scholarly, sparkling kraken. Kelly Corrado, you smashing, charming sun goddess. And Stephanie Pinion, you scrumptious, tenacious werewolf. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card is the Jane Austen Tarot, the Ten of Diamonds. So let's see. Accomplishment. The fruit of labor in the family garden is a beautiful bouquet. Sit back and enjoy. And a little housekeeping. The spell of the month has been posted on the Patreon. So go check that out if you're interested. And that's all I've got for you today. So we will talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.